I thought we'd have a look at that Romans passage that the girls read to us so nicely. Thank you very much. It's a kind of an overview of the Old Testament. Paul is looking back to the beginnings of how God started working with human beings. And we know that everything started with Abraham. Everything that happens before him is kind of just a reaction to the fall. But when we get to chapter 12, I think it is, of the book of Genesis, we're introduced to Abraham, who then becomes the father of this nation, the nation of Israel, that will go on to be the birthplace of the Messiah. And Abraham is about as far before Jesus as we are afterwards. It's about 2,000 years before Jesus that we're talking about here. And Paul helps us to see why God chose this particular man to start everything off. Because foundations are important, aren't they? How you start things does actually matter. If you start in the wrong place, or you start in the wrong way, or if you build the wrong foundations, then it's not going to work. And that's true for everything in life. And this great plan of God's to redeem mankind, to bring mankind back to him, starts with this man Abraham. And probably Abraham is referred to in the New Testament more often than any other Old Testament character. And it's interesting to see why Paul really helps us here to realize why it is that God chose Abraham. We know that God was going to need a people and a culture for his son to be born into. He needed a woman to actually give birth to Jesus. But just as much he needed a culture for Jesus to grow up in. And that was the purpose. That's the purpose of the Israelites. That was why God started this great plan 2,000 years earlier with this man Abraham. And he chose Abraham not because Abraham was particularly holy. Now, if you read through the life of Abraham, he does sometimes tell lies. And he sometimes, as I'll mention in a minute, he actually short-circuits the purpose of God at one point. He's not the most holy of people. He seems to be quite a bright man. He's not stupid, but he's certainly not the cleverest person that you read about in the Bible. That's probably Paul, actually, who wrote this letter. He's not the richest, though he's quite rich. He's not a poor man. He's not the most wealthy. And he's not actually the most holy. He seems to be, in some ways, just an ordinary man. But the thing that Paul draws out from the life of Abraham is his faith. And that's the message from the New Testament, that we look back in admiration for Abraham because he was willing to actually act on what God had said to him. And he was willing to believe that when God said something, that was it. And he was willing to believe that when God made a promise, that that would be fulfilled. And he was willing to believe that God could be trusted. And he demonstrated by what he did in his life. Now, if you go through the history of Abraham, the first time we hear about him, God actually asked him to move from where he's currently living, which is in a place called Haran, which is somewhere in sort of Iraq nowadays, to move quite a long way into the land of Canaan. And, of course, Canaan eventually became the nation of Israel. And Abraham was willing to actually respond to God's call and to do that. And when he got to the land of Canaan, God made him a promise. He promised that he would be the father of many nations. Now, by this stage, Abraham was already quite old. He's about 80 when he gets to Israel. And his wife, Sarah, is about 60. So that they're both in their latter years, as far as we're concerned. And as far as they can tell, Sarah was barren. She didn't have any children. So this promise that God made to them, that they were going to be the starting point for a great nation, didn't seem to make sense. How could they possibly be the mother and the father, if you like, of this nation, if they didn't have any children? And we know again from the story, from the accounts in the Old Testament, it was 20 years before God actually fulfilled that promise and gave them their son Isaac. And Abraham had to actually hang on to that promise all that time. Because for him, the most important thing in his life was the fact that he was going to have descendants. And as it says there, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It says he hung on to his faith. Now, we know he had a wobble halfway through that. Sarah suggested that he sleep with her maidservant, Hagar, and Hagar produced a son, Ishmael. So, in a sense, Abraham did kind of short-circuit things. He did waver, if you like, in his faith in a little way. But God seems to be gracious. God is gracious and forgave him. And eventually Isaac, who was the son of the promise, who was the one that was going to be the start of this great nation, he was eventually born to Sarah and to Abraham. And it says there in the book of Romans, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And then we know as we carry on reading about the account of the life of Abraham, there's that wonderful passage where God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, even though we know, and Abraham knew, that this boy was going to be the start of a nation. So it was, in a sense, it didn't make sense for him to be killed still as a young, as a teenager. And we know that Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah, which eventually became the site of the temple, and he almost sacrificed it. And at the last moment, God provided a ram caught in a thicket as a substitute sacrifice. But Abraham was willing to go through what God had asked him to do. And these are the reasons why God chose this man. God is really looking, in a sense, not particularly for holy people. I mean, we are called to live holy lives as far as we can. And we are called to use the gifts and the intelligence that God has given us. So God isn't particularly looking for clever people, but he is looking for people who are willing to act on their faith, who are willing to accept the promises that God makes to us and to live that out in their lives. That's what God is looking for today. And he started with this man, Abraham. There's this amazing line that's there in the passage in Romans. It says, therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. That is actually one of the most quoted verses in the New Testament, that's actually originally in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. Speaking about Abraham, it says, therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. What it means is that God actually takes our faith in him, our willingness to believe what God tells us, and kind of converts that into our holiness. That's why we are God's holy people. It's not because we're so clever or wonderful about keeping our noses clean according to any set of rules. It's because we're willing to trust in God and in his word to us. And we're willing to trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross by dying for our sins and rising for our justification. That's what it means when it says his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. And that's true for every single one of us. God doesn't require perfection. He knows that we are imperfect beings, that we do wobble at times, that we do doubt, that we do sometimes do things that are contrary to what we believe. But he is gracious and he is willing to forgive. That's one of the points of Lent, isn't it? That we actually reflect on our lives and we come before God and ask for his forgiveness, confident that he is willing to forgive us. So he's not looking for 100% perfection, but he is looking for a faithful people. A people who are willing to hear what he says, both now and through the scriptures, and are willing to live their lives by that, to the best of their abilities. So I know I've encouraged you many times over the course, and the course that we're going to be following will be partly about listening to God and hearing his voice, his words to us, as Abraham heard. God does speak to us today through all sorts of different ways. And I hope and I pray and I have faith that he's speaking to you through me this morning. And he asks us just to be willing to be like Abraham and to put our faith into practice, to be willing to actually respond by our lives in faith, to actually be the people he wants us to be. So we thank Paul for writing these words, these encouraging words in the book of Romans, looking back. And we do thank Abraham. One day we'll meet him and be able to find out all the things that happened to him. And we do thank Abraham for all that he went through and that it was recorded so that we can actually use him as an example. But it's no good just looking at these great examples of faith. We need to actually put them into practice and to be willing to actually accept all that God has called us to do and to be, and to demonstrate our faith by the way we live. Amen.